You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
The piece of music you're listening to now is called Gymnopédie No. 1, and it's the first of three piano compositions written by the French composer and pianist Eric Satie. It's being played here by an Australian concert pianist who has performed across many countries, including the United States, the UK, South America, Italy, Japan, Germany, Switzerland. There are so many, the list goes on and on forever. And she has played with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, the Romanian Philharmonic Orchestra, all six major Australian symphony orchestras, as well as many others as well. The list of countries and orchestras and venues she has graced is virtually endless. Most of us like to say our children are prodigies, but the performer you're hearing now gave her first public performance at the age of two and began recording material for the ABC at the age of three. That person is Tamara Anna Chislovska, and I'm delighted to welcome her to Monday Drive. Tamara Anna Chislovska, welcome.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, appearing on radio is nothing new to you, is it? You're a regular host on ABC Classic, and we all listen to you. But we're delighted.
I am a regular host, and yes, I love radio. There's nothing more intimate, I think, than radio, and it allows you so many possibilities. Well, just in talking, it feels so direct, don't you think?
Oh,
when you hear the radio, you feel you're right next to the person.
Entirely, but it does lead to a question, though, and that is: do you consider yourself to be primarily a broadcaster, a composer, a pianist, a music curator, a music director, a librettist, a teacher, or simply, my favourite, is a national treasure?
Alan, my head is spinning with all those descriptions.
Well, I can't filter.
They are true, though. They are true, and I do many things. And I love them all equally. I can honestly say that. Mm. I think if I was to whittle it down to something essential, I'm just a musician. I'm just a musician who does lots of things.
Just remove the word "just," if you wouldn't mind. You're not just a musician. Music ran in your family. Did you ever have aspirations towards anything except music?
It's difficult to say because, of course, the lived experience was so... I was so ensconced in music from the womb. And in fact, you know, it's interesting. I saw a fellow today who I probably haven't seen for many, 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 many years, and he was a student of my mother's, and he actually remembers being a student just before I was born. And it just made me think again how much music I heard in the womb because of my mum being a teacher and having so many wonderful pianists and students and having so many pianos in her house and all of those pianos being utilized to the maximum, that really music was, as people say, it was my first language. And it always seems so natural that I would be doing music. And, you know, when you're little like that, you don't realize that maybe other people don't have music in their lives right. in the same way. I wish that they did, because I think music gives us not only a form of expression for our inner souls, but it makes you more human. It brings out the humanity in people, and that's what's so wonderful.
There were five generations of your family, either performers or educators or both, so it really was... the die was set well and truly before you're in the womb.
That is true, and there are people... Well, there are generations of Australians who will remember, for example, my aunt Myra Heffernan, who used to travel on horseback in country near South Wales to teach a lot of students. Then she had a famous studio in Lismore. And I think all of my great aunts did music. My grandmother was, I think, the youngest person in Australia to receive a licentiate diploma. She was about 16 at the time, which was unheard of. She died tragically in childbirth when she was 31. Trying to give my mother a brother. But her legacy, of course, continued through my mum and passed to me, thankfully.
It did pass to you at a very, very early age. You started playing at the age of two. But when were you first able to read music?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, my mum always emphasised the physical before the reading. And it's very interesting that is such an important thing with little kids to try and get the hand position right, for example, on the piano, and to cultivate your oral training so that you can listen and understand music and then try to pick it apart and work out what elements are going on. So I remember that she used to play games with me from as far back as I can remember at all. She would play notes on the piano and get me to find them.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's how, you know, perfect pitch is a funny thing. I don't know if it's, I think it's a bit of both. It's cultivated and it's genetic. But I was always, that was my favorite game, and I was always better than everybody at that. And she used to do clusters of notes, and I just used to go and find them. And I just had this ability to do that, which I think, I mean, she fostered, but it was also there. And I do think that with young children, even babies, you can really cultivate their musical ear. And I don't know if you can create perfect pitch, but I suspect that you can, or almost, and have a very good ear so that you can pick out the tunes that you hear on the radio or, you know, even on the television or wherever you hear music. It's wonderful to be able to understand it, like I said before, like a language.
So your mum had a profound impact on your music.
She absolutely did, and it continues to this day. And in fact, she is she's over 80 now, and she still has students. And still has that spark in her eye, that love for passing on knowledge, and probably more than that, introducing young minds to the wonder of music and what music can give you, both intellectually and emotionally. And the piano is a wonderful thing because, you know, at your fingertips, you have an orchestra.
Yes,
really.
Yes, indeed you do. And in fact,
there's almost nothing you can't play on the piano, Alan. Like, you can play any style, really, and you can emulate any instrument, including the human voice.
Although that might be true, it possibly isn't true at the age of three when you performed at the Sydney Town Hall. Do you remember what you played on that occasion?
I do, because it was a very specific occasion. It was a forum on Bartok.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I played little pieces of Bartok, some of the Microcosmos.
Do you remember which one you played?
I remember that I played the second Romanian dance. I played, there's one called The Lost Cat. I think that might have been the title an English person put on the piece. But then there was Tanzlied of Bartok, little pieces.
Right.
But I loved them so much. And I had the chance as a very, I was young, but even younger than that, probably two or even less, I worked with Nancy Salas, who was another wonderful teacher from the Sydney Conservatorium,
right,
who taught people like Paul Dyer and Kathy Selby. And she had a great influence on me as well as my mum. I mean, sometimes, let's face it, Alan, it's hard to learn from your parents.
Yes, indeed. You're putting me through
a dual role.
You're giving me too much of a difficult task to locate any of those that you've just mentioned. But the sort of music you played from that Microcosmos is this sort of thing from Béla Bartók. Now, this is called A Study in Chords.
I love that piece.
Well, it's from the same suite of music as the one that you would have played. They're all fairly short, but
Oh, they are, which is great for little kids.
Or when you're three, you can't do too much more than that. I'm speaking with Tamara Anna Chislovska. Tamara, can you tell us when you met Jeffrey Tozer and what influence he had on your early career?
He had a huge influence, and he was someone who, I suppose, a bit like me, did so many different things. So he was a wonderful pianist, but he was also a composer. He loved literature. He loved art in all its forms.
Mm.
He was a great aficionado of opera. He could play you almost an entire opera by memory,
right,
on the piano and singing the different roles. He had such an extraordinary mind and an extraordinary curiosity. So I met him when I first went into the ABC Young Performers Award, which it was called then, and my mum had insisted I do this for experience. You know how parents will often say to you, oh, you have to do this for experience.
That's right.
But not that she was expecting me to do well or win. I mean, this is a competition that was up to age 32 or something like that,
mm-hmm,
and many of her students were in it and they would win it, but they were probably about 20 years of age or more, and I was 10. So what you had to do for this competition was prepare a whole lot of pieces, and of course this is very good for a young person expanding their repertoire and so on. And I went in for the audition, and Jeffrey Tozer was on the panel for what they called stage one. So you do an audition, and then if you pass that, you'd go stage two, and then there was stage three and stage four. So he was on stage one panel. I went in, they said to me, what would you like to play? I chose a Bach Prelude Fugue. Then they asked me to play a Brahms Intermezzo.
Hmm.
I think maybe thinking that there was a bit of hubris that this young girl had. How dared I have Brahms?
Yeah.
How could I play Brahms? What they didn't know is that I loved Brahms with all my heart, and that because of my mother's wonderful teaching, I was very familiar with playing chords and octaves, and I had a certain aptitude for that. Mm. And so I did the Brahms, and then I think I did a Larry Sitsky piece to finish that audition. And that's Jeffrey then, well, according to my mother, he came out of the room and was walking up and down the corridor saying, "This child has the best sound in Australia."
Yeah.
And so I didn't know that till much later when she told me. And then I think we went to one of his concerts and it was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And my mum and I immediately thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to study with this great man? And I think he'd just got a big contract with Chandos in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so his career was absolutely in full flight. He would have been in his 30s then.
Mm.
And I was so lucky that he took an interest in me and saw the raw materials that something could be made out of me. And he accepted me as a student. So I used to go to Canberra and work with him. Often I'd stay there for a number of days. And at that time, his mother was there as well, who had been his teacher. Mm. So there was a similarity in that we'd both learnt from our mothers at an early age. And, of course, he was 20, 30 years older. And I was, a big acolyte. I was just fascinated by this burly man who could just play anything.
Yeah.
And I tried to absorb as much as I possibly could. And then when he had to perform and record the double concerto of Rawsthorne for Chandos,
mm-hmm.
he asked me to go with him. And I was, at that time, so fast forward a few years, I was 15, I think, or 14, going on 15, which is still, I mean, it is far too young to be recording with the London Philharmonic, really, but thanks to his expert guidance and tutelage, it actually felt really easy, and we blended together very well. And, it was something I look back on with such gratefulness and still excitement. I'm still excited about it.
A very important associate of yours in your musical career. But you play tennis. Are you any good at it?
I try to be.
I'm trying to find out if there's something that you're not good at. Just give me a hand here. Are you any good at tennis?
Oh, I don't know. I love the tactics of tennis. So in terms of, I never was one to love just swimming up and down a pool or just running round an oval. To me, tennis is more like a chess match. And I think what attracts, say, a pianist is that in tennis it's a game of inches and centimetres.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of precision. And, of course, that translates really well from what we learn to do with the piano or with any of the classical instruments, really, which require so much focus, and precision.
Kind of like radio broadcasting. We've mentioned your radio broadcasting on ABC Classic FM, but your association with the ABC goes back a long, long time. Do you remember your first ABC recording? Do you remember what it was?
Yes, I do, because it was, I think, possibly till now, it was pretty unique in that producer Owen Chambers and an engineer came to my house and recorded me when I was 3, and they recorded me performing 10 pieces, and those 10 pieces were things like Schumann.
With the Romanian dancers, one of those?
Definitely.
Okay.
And there was Chopin, I think it was the Prelude number 7.
Okay.
Now,
this is not you, I have to say, because I couldn't find one of you playing this. But it is the Romanian dances, and it is something that I believe you may have played very early on in the piece.
I did. I don't think I've managed the fast presto one, but I could manage...
Oh, in that case, I'll get rid of that one.
...more pathos and rhythm. That was my thing.
Okay. Ross Edwards and Miriam Hyde are both Aussie composing icons, and they're also amongst your repertoire from an earlier age. What is it about the Australian composers that drew you to them, as opposed to the more classical composers?
Mm. I think, again, I'd have to cite my mum's influence on that, because she has always believed that you must play the music that's around you and that's being created at that time, and you must honour the history of the country and the history of classical music in our country. And, you know, she knew those composers personally, and Peter Sculthorpe also.
Yeah, Peter Sculthorpe.
And several others.
Yeah, Peter Sculthorpe died in 2014 at age 85, and his musical style is sort of described as uniquely Australian, obviously, and it's deeply rooted in landscape and history and the spirit of the country and so on. What was your association with him?
With Peter Sculthorpe, I met just after I'd won the ABC Young Performers Award, and I was 14 then, and they offer you, as part of that prize, they would offer you engagements with the symphony orchestras. And one of my first engagements was to go to Tasmania and do a little mini tour with the Tasmanian Symphony in Hobart and in Launceston, and to perform some Chopin, but more importantly, to perform Peter Sculthorpe's piano concerto, which was still, it had been premiered, I think, 10 years before, but wasn't very often played, and there wasn't even a piano score for it. I had to learn it from the orchestral score. So, you know, that meant I had about 130 pages in front of me instead of maybe 50. So that was a learning experience in itself, to decipher this score. And I think it might have been in Ross Edwards' handwriting, because he at one point did some copying for Peter Sculthorpe, he was also a student and colleague of Peter's, and I just remember thinking, is that a B or an A? D? You know, you're trying to read this handwritten score, but there was something so exciting about that, to this day, there's something so exciting about just that one degree of separation from the actual creation of this work of art. Peter was wonderful to me, and he was such a gentlemanly and kind man, and again, a man who loved art in all its forms. And he was very generous to me and very complimentary about my playing and the way I played his piano concerto. I just loved it, Alan. I loved it so much. It was so different, right, but at the same time, very familiar, because Peter loved things like Mahler, and he loved the full tradition of pianism, especially the romantic early 20th century styles. He loved the Spanish composer Mompou, and he had a wonderful way of blending a certain type of minimalism and romanticism, and then being able to somehow encapsulate in musical terms the idea of space in Australia. One of his great gifts is, when you listen to his music, you immediately feel like you're in Australia. It just gives you that essence of that incredible sky that we have, and the distance between things. And then, of course, all things like indigenous melodies.
Yes, yes.
And the landscape, as you said.
Yes, I was just playing behind you there that Gili piece. That you played with the Australian Chamber Orchestra.
There's nothing more haunting than a piece like that.
It's a staggering piece of music.
It's
really
so
is.
Simple, and yet it's so profound. It's very, very unique, and he had that gift.
We could be talking about your music for hours, but unfortunately we only have a few moments left, and there are two things I want to cover. One is your sister in music surely has to be Elena Katz-Chernin. I'm going to play some of that to finish up with. But I do want to mention very briefly the concert series coming up on the 8th to the 20th of May. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's the Theremin.
So not long after I meet Jeffrey Tozer, I meet Richard Tognetti.
Okay.
Who, at that time, the ACO had a festival in the Huntington Festival in Mudgee.
Right.
And Jeffrey brought me along to one of those festivals. And that's the first time I performed with Richard and with members of the ACO. And I was introduced to their kind of very, very visionary and innovative way of not just playing, but of programming. And Richard has such a curious mind, and he has a wonderful knack, I think, of being ahead of trends in music and of combining traditional classical music with new instruments you might not connect with classical music, such as the theremin or the oud or didgeridoo. All of these things are part of the ACO's history and essence, I think.
Okay.
So I've had such a long association with them. I've done many tours with them. I've done festivals. And I just love them. And we're about to go on tour again.
Right, and that's the 8th to the 20th.
Very unusual. It's string orchestra and piano and percussion with theremin.
And I'm going to be giving out those details in just a few moments. Again, Tamara Anna Chislovska, we could be talking for hours, and I hope one day we can do it again. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on Monday Drive, and I wish you all the very best for this concert series coming up on the 8th to the 20th of May that I'll give details about in a moment. However, I do want to leave our audience with you, and your sister in music, as I refer to her, and this is a piece called Eliza Aria, and I'm sure it's one of your favourites. It certainly is one of mine.
Thank you, Alan. An absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.